Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bill. How are you?
I'd like to say welcome all of our listeners out there tonight. Hey, before we get started about that, last weekend you were up the Easy Rider Bike Show.
That's correct.
In Anaheim.
That's correct.
For you people who have a chance to Easy Rider Bike Show, we suggest you go see it. It's not what it used to be, but nothing as it used to be. However, give us some of the highlights up there, if you would, buddy.
Well, the highlights were
you. You. That's enough highlight right there.
I got waylaid, Bill, when I walked in because my picture's on in that magazine for the quarter.
Oh,
for
man.
The next 3 months.
That's right.
And the guy that owns the magazine wanted me to sit in his booth and charge $10 for autographs.
You gotta pay $10 every time you sign an autograph for somebody?
Yeah.
Who's some of the celebrities up there? Anybody pop in that show? Because I was not at that show.
Yeah, we had Chibs, we had Layla, we had in the booth where I was at, we had Emilio Rivera.
Emilio with the president of the Mayans, the TV show folks. And the other guys with the Sons of Anarchy, TV show, right, Philip?
That's correct.
TV show.
That's correct. And there was, even... Every time we get going, they got to come in and do that.
Somebody's got to irritate us.
They got to irritate us. And to them, I say, fuck you.
You know, a good thing this year was, last year we had to go to Los Angeles, if you recall. That was kind of a miserable drive, bad parking and all that. But this year, last week, it was only Anaheim, so it was a short drive for us, and no muss, no fuss with them. Anything else exceptional in the motorcycle world you saw, or just pretty much kind of a stuff to bend the magazines?
I found out something interesting yesterday about... Let me go here, Bill.
Go ahead.
Let me do this.
Go ahead.
We've got Angel in the Carolinas. We've got Nora, who's probably, I think it's Chicago, but I thought I saw Harvey, Illinois.
There were a lot of Chicago people that call.
And we got USA Mom.
Are these your relatives back there?
No.
All right, a lot of Chicago people call. Right.
And we got USA Mom up north.
Hey.
She's working while she's listening to us.
All right.
And Nora's a first-timer. Archer's joined us.
Nora, don't be uncomfortable. We'll be very gentle. We promise if it's your first time. So you're up there. A lot of good people showed up there. The show was good.
Yeah.
The show's not as good as it used to be.
And then yesterday I was following my friend Hermes' show and got in a little chat discussion, and I met somebody's grandson from Arizona, Chad.
Chad?
Yes, happens to be Shirley's grandson.
Oh, I see what you're going about this. Oh, okay, then. Yeah. See, it threw me off. You said you talked to your friend, Shil, implying you had more than me as a friend. That's what kind of threw me off on that.
Well, you know.
I got a little bit lost, and I go, who is he talking about?
Yeah, sometimes we do that.
Yeah. So it was a one-day show only again, but a lot of bike lights, a lot of good-looking women.
Yeah. I just got my bike back, and... He
should have put your bike in the show.
Yeah, I should have, but...
Your bike's clean.
But,
show them what a street custom bike is.
Right.
Not just some bike that, gets trailered everywhere.
No, it doesn't get trailered. Never.
Deviating slightly, don't forget now, in 2 weeks we have that John Del Santo, that little life memorial celebration we're going to do up at Mount Soledad. So, that's something we'd be looking forward to. And then after that,
that's 2 days, Bill. I think the 27th and the 28th, if I'm not mistaken. Well, he's going to be laid to rest at Rosecrans. And then the next day is that run up to Mount Soledad.
Right. I'm going to do the run on Saturday, the Mount Soledad Celebration of Life. And then some of our buddies are going to ride down to the VFW hall to get, shit-faced. And then you and I, a couple of our friends, are going to run over to the authorized dealership for that big famous chili cook-off.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting with that. There's some new people, veterans, that have never been in Mount Soledad. And I said, you've been in California for how long?
Yeah.
And, well, I heard about Mount Soledad. They said, I just drive right by it. You can't take 5 minutes out of your time to go see a war memorial. Appreciate the fact what men and women have done for their country. Nah, I don't know. But anyway, that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So we have this weekend quiet, and then I think, yeah, we're getting ready for that run again.
And then, you know, I got some requests tonight, Bill, from some other stuff. So I'm going to knock those out of the way real quick.
All righty, then.
The first one is by our bud George Carlin here.
Our inspirational leader, our motivational leader.
That's correct. So we'll do this one, and then I got another request for that rant. So
whatever George says, pay attention. He was ahead of his time.
Here we go.
But there's a reason education sucks. It's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
You want to comment?
George says, he says a lot of good things. He's a little bit radical out there, but you know what? If you stop and listen to what he says, then look around. A lot of it's making damn good sense. You know?
Mm-hmm. And that was from 2005, Bill.
Yeah, he was way ahead of his time. You know, right now, Romney did a real good job. Now, the leading Republican candidate, and I'm a Catholic, and I'm thinking, well, he's with those Mormons, and, listen to him. But then I was thinking, if he gets elected and he passes a law that legalizes polygamy, I might vote for the guy.
Oh,
you know,
come on.
I might vote for
why
that.
You, why you want to go there, man?
Well, that's the way I feel about it. You know, he ain't got nothing else going on. There's nobody else. I'm a hardcore Republican. There's nobody in the Republican Party I want to vote for right now at all.
Uh-huh.
Nobody. But if he tells me that he's going to legalize polygamy, well, I think a lot of us might could go for that program. Don't know. I'll get past the wife yet.
Yeah.
Because I try to tell her, look at the...
Well, you fucked up because you taught her how to use a gun.
I know that. I try to tell her, look at my boy, you know, Bill Clinton. She said, don't go there. Don't go there. I figured it was good enough for the president. It should be good enough for me. But she said, don't go there.
Yeah.
Don't go there. So.
Well, you know, to get back to the Easy Rider show, the gentleman that I was talking to that happens to be the grandson.
Well, you're just all over the show, aren't you? Okay, now we're back over here. We went politics, all right, yeah.
Well, because politics sucks, and I don't believe in anybody they have right now, and I'm not going to vote for that guy again. This is the side of his. I'm showing Bill a picture here, but this is the side of his diner.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how clean it is. Almost, you know, mine is just as clean.
Yours is as good as that, anything, yeah.
And then this is the young man right here.
Oh, a clean cut, short hair, nice guy, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's he doing there? Is he making any parts?
No, he just had his bike in
his
the
own,
show.
Okay, just play.
As far as I know, it's just his bike in the show.
Okay.
And well, then...
That's what we need to see. We need to see motorcycles that are capable of going for a ride. I understand that these motorcycle shows are about concept bikes, but more and more and more, I don't want to see concept bikes. I'll look in a magazine for that. I want to see a guy who rides his bike into the show,
And rides it home.
Wipes it down, yeah, and has a good show. This guy knows all the years you've never traveled around Mexico, those concept bikes would never make Mexico.
No.
Ooh, excuse me.
But, yeah, you know, it just goes more and more, you know. It's getting crazy by the day.
Well, you know, they're cutting back on everything. That's why I'm wondering if anybody does get a chance to see the Easy Rider Bike Show in the Midwest or the back east.
Well, actually, this
take the time to see it.
Yeah,
we don't know if they're going to be around much longer.
No, and this
costs too much money to put these shows on, Philip.
That's correct. And this one's going to be, the next weekend is going to be in Sacramento.
That's a good show, though.
Yeah, that's a two-day show, and they come from
that's big. Yeah.
They come from Canada all over for that one. That's why I couldn't. Well, I could see because there wasn't a lot of vendors like there usually was. There was only two rows this year instead of four like last year.
Well, you know, I talked to a lot of vendors that simply said they weren't going up there, and some of the vendors that I spoke to, like one guy got a small 10x10 spot before the show. They gave him 10x20.
Mm-hmm.
They try to spread that out to make it look more interesting. So that was kind of nice, but. They gave a lot of free spaces away. Tried it so the people coming in. Let me tell you something. Easy Rider people, listen to me. Years ago, I went to an Easy Rider show, and across the hall, they had a tattoo convention. That place made it rock. I could see all the custom bikes, and I went into the tattoo show. That was quite interesting to see, quite interesting.
Uh-huh.
However, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a bit of a prude. I'm still having a little difficulty speaking to young, attractive women that have full-face tattoos.
Well,
I'm an old guy.
Everybody's entitled to, you know, the way they want to be.
That's the basis
of how it works here.
I'm bald on top, long gray hair down my back. I don't judge anybody. I'm just saying that it's just a little bit hard for me for full-face tattoo for young girls. That's a little bit conservative. I'm, you know, old school.
Yeah, and just a little bit in the chat room.
Yeah.
Surely that's on my blog. And Nora, if you want to get to my blog, it's bikersofamerica.com/blogspot.com. I'll put the link in there in a minute.
Maybe Nora's got a full face tattoo. I don't know.
No, Nora doesn't.
We know Shirley doesn't, but we don't know. I don't know. Nora, yeah.
No. So.
You got a problem with girls that have full face tattoos?
No,
Why are you picking on Nora?
I don't.
Okay.
Well, what I want to do is that we're going to bring in, we have people on the line right now. We have Ryan. He's on the line from Greeley, Colorado.
Okay.
And the 864, I forget where that's at. But we also have one from Pennsylvania. Hello, Alicia. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Okay. I hope he's not too much of a prude to talk to me now.
No.
Okay.
Did you what I said earlier about the, we're talking about the East Rider Bike Show, and then I mentioned the, I was at a show tattoo convention recently, and a lot of girls with full-face tattoos. Is that a bit overwhelming to you, or is that something you're very comfortable with? Young girls, full-face tattoos.
It's a bit overwhelming to me.
Okay.
Like,
nothing
wrong.
Tattoos
me,
are beautiful, and that's what
I
want to do, but it was just a bit overwhelming for me, and I'm just stating my opinion on it, so.
Oh no, I feel the same way actually. You know, if they're beautiful, why? I don't know. I just think there's so many different places on your body that you could put it and not on your face.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
see, my concern is
my opinion.
These young girls, I'm afraid that later on in life they're going to be putting the old folks home, and they're going to be sitting in the rocking chair with a full face tattoo, and that just might scare the hell out of everybody. Just might.
Yeah.
All my friends
there
get
with
tattoos.
Their grandkids.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Full face tattoo. Take the grandkids to Disneyland. Oh yeah. How about teacher night? Yeah. Again, though, we're not saying anything wrong with full face tattoos. I'm simply saying that I sometimes think on women, anything is tastefully done. Philip,
right.
You and I have a girl that's got that full back tattoo
uh-huh.
of the Oriental girl
with the
pour
fish.
The pitcher of water. The fish is coming out and it goes swims upstream. It belongs in the museum. It's beautiful.
Oh,
but
wow.
She can hide it if she needs to. She can, you know, doesn't need to share it the whole world unless she wants to share it. I sometimes think that
right.
that may be the easier way to go. Whereas if you got a full
right.
face tattoo, you're restricted from jobs, and then you have to deal with what people think of you. And again, I'm going to say
right
now, I have gray beard, bald on top, long gray hair down my back. So I understand first impression is everything.
Well,
just
you
finding
know,
out?
Just to interject on that, Bill.
Please
you know,
do.
You know these guys that have the hoop, you know, they put that hoop in their ears?
Yes.
Okay. I got a guy that was working with us, and he had both his eyebrows through his lip,
uh-huh.
both his ears. Some kind of shit hanging off his neck. It was like, looked like, he looked like Frankenstein, right? He went on, he had this job where he had to weld next to the wall. And it was last August. And, you know, it was pretty hot there. And then being with all that steel's painted red primer, it just sucks in the heat, you know. So it's like anywhere from 140 to 150 degrees in there.
Yeah.
So I told him, you might want to take those out of your ear. Did he listen? Nope. Melted his earlobe to the ring.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Oh, that sounds like it would hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't judge if a man wants to wear an earring or a bone through his nose, but I do say that I feel a little bit uneasy when somebody goes into my motorcycle shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside, myself and my brother Mike own it, and they got tattoos up to here, and they got rings, and they got buttons and bones and everything, and they say, you know what, man, I'm going to save up for a motorcycle. And I say to them,
shouldn't have bought the tat.
That's right.
Exactly.
Having a tat,
yeah.
Biker. A motorcycle makes you a biker. First, get the motorcycle. Understand the concept of brotherhood.
Well, you know, Nora just chimed in with she likes. I don't know if I would do that, but I like them in a place where it isn't seen. So I guess it's an adventure.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, then you have to find it.
I guess it's an adventure.
Yeah, that's not too bad, though. That could be fun.
So what's going on with you today? I saw one of your posts, but, you know, I don't want to repeat that here because I don't want to scare people away, but I couldn't believe that one guy didn't know what that was.
Which one?
The one about the DP. It might have been yesterday's. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually, I don't remember that one.
Oh,
excuse me.
But everybody else did, so
oh, okay.
it was on the page.
Okay, because I say, why are you talking about things we don't all understand?
No, I didn't mean
you
to.
You and Nora got some special code going on between you? Is that what's going on
No,
here?
That's Alicia.
Why, Alicia, I'm sorry. Why can't we know what's going on? Why do you got a special code?
I just saw something that somebody wrote today, but.
And you don't want to share it.
No,
that's
no,
the
no,
why
no.
you bring it up.
I know.
Huh?
Was that on my mind.
Was that on Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, we just got Facebook back. They did exactly what they said, or I said that they were going to do. They kind of shut us down for a little while. And then we had to change the name, so now I'm not Alicia Smith now. I'm Alicia Cowan. And the spelling of the first name is A-L-I-C-I-A, and then Cowan. So we've kind of gotten inundated now that they put us back up with all these messages that I just have to go in and respond to them. And I feel bad because we were getting, you know, messages. They actually had stopped us. They put us on hold. They stopped us from accepting friends, which everybody that we talk to, they keep saying to us, I've never had that happen before. I've never heard of it. I've only heard that happen if you request friends, but we're not requesting friends. We're only accepting the friendship. And that's when they put us on, like, this 30-day hold. And then people were getting mad. Well, why don't you want to, you know, friend me? You know, you haven't responded yet. And it wasn't something that, it was out of our control. And it was really hard to get that across to people. And then all of a sudden, one day, we went to go on Facebook, and it was taken down. So somebody at Facebook actually worked with us, and they got us back up, but we have to use a different name now. So it's just been a nightmare. But hopefully, you know, this won't go anywhere like the first one did, because we had a lot of friends that way, and, you know, now that we're back, hopefully we'll stay here.
So what's going on with everything else? How's the calendar and all that stuff going?
Well, with the site being shut down, the calendar, we have the calendar, you know, it's for sale. We do have to send out your copy, but it's for sale now. So anybody who wants it can go to the Facebook page and order it that way, and then we can ship it out to whoever wants it.
If you send me an email with those links, I'll put it on the blog. Which today, Bill, on the blog we had 38,871 people look at the blog.
Interesting.
Wow, that's great. All right, we'll send you the links to that.
Okay.
Yeah, those two don't want to run it. They want to just listen to it.
They
want to
listen to it.
Yeah. Make on to it. Yeah, right.
You know, we have, we've got Ragdoll Michelle listening now.
And where's she from?
I think she's in Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Tejas, all right.
So what else you got coming up? Anything or no?
We actually have we have a shoot next month. The men's magazine was kind of pushed back about 6 weeks, so we have that hopefully the end of February. I was actually named the top 40 and over, or I guess the 40 age, the age 40 group by Sport Magazine as the most beautiful woman in the world. So that was a big nod for me. So they're out. They're actually out in L.A. right now promoting that. Just doing some films here and there, trying to get some stuff together. We're still working with Kimmy Cruz she's going to try and get me some modeling jobs with, you know, some bike groups and stuff like that. We just did that, I guess, the last 2 weeks. We just signed with her.
Well, you know that guy Pete Alva I was telling you about. He's gonna be in New York in 8 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll call him and see, and maybe he's filming a movie, so maybe get some shots of her in the shop on a bike.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was down just shooting a couple weeks ago. Was that our place down there?
I sent him over to Ape Hangers. And he had a couple of beers, and I got a phone call that he was dancing on the bar. So I called him up and told him, hey, look, if I send you to my friend's place, don't get shit-faced and jump up on the bar. And he goes, oh, no, I was only trying to take pictures.
He's got short attention.
No.
Photographer. He's a filmmaker. He just got short attention span.
Oh, wow. And actually, we might be coming out to L.A. soon.
I want to tell you right now, while I got you on the line, again, so everybody else can hear, I want to repeat this, that I don't know how this happened, but the Southern California magazine, Philip and his motorcycle were the best guy in motorcycle featured in the whole quarter, 4 months, 3 months, for all of Southern California, big picture, Philip and his motorcycle. I have no idea how many pounds he had to grease to get that done, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting next to a celebrity here. We call him
Waffle. Wow.
We call him Guapo, Espanol for pretty boy. Pretty boy
no,
is more
handsome. Handsome.
Oh, excuse me.
Guapo is handsome, Bill. But no. I mean, the funny part was, I'm walking around and people are walking up to me and going, "Hey, can you sign this?" And I'm like, "I don't have a marker." So I tried to sign it with a pen, but the paper in the magazine wouldn't take the pen. So I had to go over by Pete, and I had to steal one of, while Emilio was doing autographs, I had to steal one of his markers to sign some autographs for people.
Have you put that picture
up for
you on your bike yet?
Yeah, it's on the blog.
Okay, good. Where was it? Yeah, because, you know, that's pretty, actually, I have no idea how it happened, to be honest with you. I mean, because, you know, but, hey, you got it? And they somehow thought that you and your bike would best fitted the idea or the concept of the motorcycle person. So congratulations on that. I want everybody to say, yay, Philip.
Yeah, there you go. So the name of the magazine's on the website, on your website?
It's called BikerInformationGuide.com.
Oh, okay.
In my shop, I got a big magazine cut out, layout of shoes. Everybody walks in the door. There's Philip sitting right there. Bam. So,
yeah,
I'm proud of that, too. I mean, you did a good job, you know?
Yes, sir.
Of course, you could have smiled. I mentioned that to you. Anybody watch this, call in. He wasn't smiling. He looked like an old grumpy guy.
All right.
Next time, go smile.
What I'm gonna do real quick is I gotta take a quick time out here, but I'm going to play this. This is a message to Obama from an angry black man. His name is Thelonious Monk.
Angry man, but maybe he's talking for all of us right now.
Right, he's talking for all of us right now. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this. I'm going to go get that because I don't remember how the link goes exactly.
Okay. I'd like everybody to see that if they could. You know, it's a nice shot.
All right, here we go. I'll put
this is to the government, the United States government. No, $14.6 trillion, B. All my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. All I'm asking y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all got to do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? You bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We got to figure out what we're going to pay, what we got to put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh, shit. We've reached the debt ceiling. Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Ooh, stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balanced. And I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying this. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you. All the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. It's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm pissed the fuck. I can't. This is to the government.
You know, let me say something. What he's saying, if you think about it, the way our life is today, you and I are going to pretty much pass on, and we're going to be okay.
I don't know, Bill. I'm going to live forever.
No. I'm not worried about my children, but I'm telling you, everybody listen to me today, I don't know what type of a world my grandchildren are going to have.
Well,
I'm proud of saying I'm an American.
Speaking of grandchildren, Bill.
What do you know I don't know?
Speaking of grandchildren, I got told yesterday I'm going to...
I thought you were going to tell me I had a grandchild. Oh, my God, you scared the hell out of me. Congratulations.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God. So, this is outstanding.
Yeah.
This is outstanding.
I'm going to teach that kid everything that they didn't listen to me to do. I'm going to introduce him to what a screwdriver is, to take it to the furniture. I'm going to give him a hammer for the walls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give him a can of paint, and paint everything.
Well, congratulations. That's a good thing.
Well, you're kind of old.
No, I'm not old. I'm 53.
All right. But it's been a hard 53.
Well, that's, you know, shit happens, Bill. So, what else? Have you got anything coming up in the next week or so?
I'm actually doing a photo shoot tomorrow. And then we are the Pipeline Media, who represents me, they're actually out in L.A. right now, and then they're going to the award show in Las Vegas. So they're trying to line some stuff up for me to come out to Los Angeles to get some work done. So I'm a little excited about that. So if we're out there, we'll definitely, you know, see if we can stop by if you want us on the show and visit with you. That would be fun.
Yeah.
We try to find out who's playing one of the clubs up there, maybe hook up with the nightclubs up there. We got a lot of our friends playing music up on the Sunset Strip.
I'm sure we can get Dean Delray, and we can get tickets to the Comedy Store.
Yeah. Like I said, I'd rather get one of the nightclubs where I like music. Comedy's okay, but I like the music.
Well, I know Rusty and the Boys got one coming up in Hollywood.
That's what I was kind of thinking maybe I would do that.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll find that out in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, you know, everybody's talking about age right now.
Uh-oh.
I didn't write, 52 was the page that the picture's on, not my age. My age is 53.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't look 53 and I don't feel 53.
No, if he was 63, he'd look okay. But he's not.
Ouch. Well, you're as old as you feel, I guess.
Let me, all right, what I'm going to do then is, Ryan, you're unmuted.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, good to hear you, boys.
And then 864, you just want to listen or you want to talk?
It's Angel, the 864.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Yay.
Hey, and I want you guys to listen to this. We're going to go, what I want to do is, Angel, I'd like you to start from the beginning and tell this story, please. About what happened Saturday.
Ah, yes. Well, last week it was shown on the news that Westboro Church was going to come down here and protest against one of our heroes, Justin Whitmer. And, that pretty much pissed off the entire state because almost the entire state was up here. It was beautiful. I had never seen something so large, and I, you know, being born and raised in San Diego, coming home and seeing the ships, I still can tell you I had not seen anything this large. From the church where he had his memorial to the funeral site where he was buried was about 8.5 miles long. There was thousands that lined the street you couldn't see. I mean, almost you couldn't even see the bike in front of you because there was so many flags. It was beautiful. When we rode up, I actually got a hold of somebody in the PGR, and I was actually riding in front of the limos of the family because the guy I got in touch with was the uncle of Justin. So I got the pleasure of meeting him and riding up with those boys. And when we came up into the church area again, it was just completely lined with flags and everybody welcoming home. I can tell you that the best sign that I saw as I was going through was, Justin, you were there for us, so now we're here for you. It was probably the best sign that I saw. It was absolutely beautiful. Vets had come out. The people that we met while we were out there just, you know, were shaking our hands for riding in it, and it was like, no, you know, this is way bigger than one person riding in it, you know, it was spectacular. It was beautiful. The family was not bothered. Matter of fact, if anything, they were honored with everyone that showed up. There was a horse-drawn carriage is what he was brought from the church to the burial grounds in, and then the pallbearers took him up into the cemetery to be laid. And according to what the news said is that Westboro was trying to meet up at the Walmart that was probably, I don't know, 15 miles away from the site. And there was a mention of it to the escort patrol person saying that they did see a couple people showing that they were from Westboro Church, and they decided to leave. It was probably best news I've heard. It was
the same shit in Arizona, and got confronted and got run off. They were run off to the next block, is my understanding was.
The big robbery station out here was also meeting at the Walmart, and it was kind of fun that I know quite a few of the boys that had shown up to the Walmart first, and I can only imagine who escorted them to go.
Exactly. We all know who that is. But
right.
Yeah, they all showed up for that young Marine that got killed by the cops because they raided the wrong house.
Right.
You know, at our shop on the weekend, I get some of the Patriot Guard riders come in to hang out in my shop and all that. We got some big boys in San Diego. Bob Murray's about six, something like that.
Yeah.
And these guys tell me, Bill, these protesters, it will not happen on their watch. They respect their right to protest, but not while the family is grieving for the son or daughter. Not on their watch. And these guys, they're veterans. They got a couple years in them, but these guys are dead serious about this here. And when they're standing guard in front of that cemetery, when they're escorting the people, they're damn proud of what they're doing. They're damn proud of helping American out. They wish that they came back, they would have got some of the same acknowledgement. But
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
When I came back, Bill, I got a boot in the ass and shown the door. You can go early.
You know, I just want to tell everybody, I came back in 1971. And I
Man, you're an old fucker.
I rove. This is a word for you. I arrived in San Diego, and I didn't want to tell my family. It's a true story all the way. You got to hear this, guys. I didn't want to let my family know. I didn't want anybody to know. I wanted to be a big surprise. So I'm in my Army uniform. I got my duffel bag. And I thought, well, I'll just hitchhike home. It's 30 miles from the airport to my home, Carlsbad, California. Right outside the airport, I got a ride to the freeway. I'm standing on the entrance to the freeway. I had 1 foot on the sidewalk, 1 foot on the street, hitchhiking. First car that comes up, California Highway Patrol. And I figured he was going to just say something to me. Wrote me a ticket. I said, officer, I just came back, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I don't care where you've been. You had a foot on the street, you were hitchhiking. I don't care if you're in uniform. I don't care what you did. I don't care why you're coming home or anything. And I sucked my breath in, and I said, you know, I didn't do this for him. I didn't do what I did to say, good boy. I did what I thought was right. But that was my first day back to America. I got a ticket for hitchhiking 1 foot in full uniform with my duffel bag. God bless America. I still believe it's the greatest country in the world. I don't expect any thank you. I didn't get any thank you, but that was pretty chicken shit.
Yeah. You know, it's just like with this, not to change the subject, and everything sucks with those guys, because I don't understand how we're the Supreme Court ruled against the people that were trying to stop them. You know, that's one time that they should have forgot about the First Amendment, because it's bullshit. If you go, Bill, if you go and you take 5 North and you look at the front gate of Camp Pendleton, every fucking day they're out there with the posters. Baby killers, homosexual, all kinds of stupid shit. And I just want to take a couple of pot shots while I'm going north, but it's kind of hard.
Yeah. Well, you and I will be at Mount Soledad, which is a war memorial, and it's also got a cross on top in 2 weeks. And we know from the gist of our friends showing up with us, we're not going to have any protesters.
No.
We're not going to have anybody near us at all. We're going to be several hundred strong, just acknowledging a death of a friend. And it would not behoove any of these people to show up at all.
No.
Besides that, we've got bail bondsmen, we've got lawyers. We got enough
to get out, but it's the bullshit they're trying to get us. But The other thing I want to talk about was...
Talk about my boy Obama.
On Monday morning, Obama was on the news, and he said that he wasn't gonna touch any of the military. Nothing. He was going to leave it alone. So where did he go to start fucking with people? The Department of Defense / his staff and the Wounded Warrior Care Office. What the fuck, President Obama? The DOD / his staff and the Wounded Warrior Care Office. Contractors who also helped oversee transition assistance program. The defense officials have cut 44 contractor positions, about 40% of the staff, which in the Pentagon's Office of Wounded Warrior Care and Transition Policy in recent months. But I just got a text. If you have to go, Alicia, go ahead and thank you for calling in. And if you want to call in Tuesday and give an update on that shooting stuff you got going over the next few days, I would appreciate it.
Okay, I'll call in Tuesday night then.
Okay, and tell Mike I said hello.
I will. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Bye.
So to get back to this, in recent months, which sources say will affect the programs for the wounded Marines, as well as all troops and spouses leaving the military for civilian life, if cuts have reduced by half the contract staff that developed the SecureLim, provided initial training for the Wounded Warrior Recovery Care Coordinators, said the Defense Department sources, and others familiar with the programs who spoke to Military Times on the condition of an enemy. What this is an inside email from the Pentagon that I have in my hand. These coordinators are hired by the services to advocate for wounded warriors and their families and help them develop plans for their recovery in conjunction with their health care providers, which is bullshit. They're taking away everything. They even fucked with them with Obamacare, too. All 15 contract staff members involved in the transition assistance policy were also cut, sources said, leaving just 2 federal employees out of 17. Several programs that have been under development have also been axed, including a new interactive virtual transition assistance program, which is, in other words, VTAP. What that is you go on there, Bill, if you just got out or you're looking for a job, you're looking for what your benefits are, how to get your stuff started, that's where you go. But according to this, they cut it. Excuse me. The defense officials insist these cuts will not affect current programs or those who are served by them. Take over.
You know, my concern is, I'm going to jump here a second there before I talk about this, is I think we should have more veterans working for these programs. I don't care for civilians working on the veterans programs. I realize that civilians need work. I mean, obviously, I'm a civilian like that, but damn it, it's a program by veterans. Veterans should be running it. So, enough said about that. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, the impact of these adjustments has been carefully scrutinized, and risk mitigation has been implied to ensure that wounded warrior community, excuse me, folks, those will not be adversely impacted. Ms. Cynthia Smith says that after the cuts, the WWCTP office remaining staff left 47 contractors, 16 full-time government employees, and 1 defense fellow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strange thing. 1 defense fellow working in wounded warrior programs. This is why I'm just talking about that. We need veterans working here.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't we get disabled vets?
So basically, Bill, to cover everybody in all the services that are getting out, or
yeah,
the guys that are wounded, and they're gonna retire them. They're gonna have what, 16, 2, and 1?
Right. Boom.
19 people. Yeah. 19 people. That's it.
The DOT wants to hire 2 more full-time government employees. You know, again, why we need vets? We need vets. We need to put our sons and daughters that are overseas, put them to work. Where the hell are they going to go for jobs?
I don't know, Bill. You know, I today when I was down at work on the waterfront, I were by the Coronado Bridge.
Okay.
You know those big...
You weren't feeling despondent, were you?
No.
A lot of people jump off that bridge.
Yeah, I know. No, we had a jumper a couple weeks ago. It was pretty fun to watch. Anyway...
You're a sick puppy.
Yeah, but all them guys...
Retain yourself.
All the sailors on the pier were hollering, jump, jump. Anyway,
So you work out with those sailors every day, and that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I work with them every day.
Okay.
But what happened was there's 3 tankers. They come in, there's 3 of them. They come 3 times a week.
Any women sailors or just men sailors?
No, everybody. There are all kinds of sailors over
okay,
here.
Okay, just ask the question.
But these three freighters, These three freighters come from communist China, Bill.
You should have sunk them.
Yeah, exactly. You know those big windmills on the way to Palm Springs?
Yeah. Huh?
Okay, they bring in 20 per ship.
Right.
I watch them offload them every day. Okay?
Right.
They go back empty.
Making so much damn profit, they're going back empty.
They go back empty.
It goes back to what I said. Our children are going to be okay, but I don't know about our grandchildren. Everybody can hear my voice. It does work with a communist country. Wake up. Stop doing the work. Stop spending money on communism. Even if you don't want to believe me, believe that one of the tenets of communism, and I'm going to repeat it. Excuse me, a little cold tonight. Communism wants to control and abolish all religions. Even if you don't want to listen to me from my philosophical side, listen to me from the religious aspect. They want no religions.
Well, you know, Bill, we're not United States citizens anymore. We're getting treated like subjects.
Yeah. You've got to wake up, America. Now, I'm not anti-Walmart, but yeah, I guess I am. Don't go to Walmart. Find yourself a mom-and-pop store if you can. For God's sakes, help the small business person in your local area.
Because, like I said, Bill, uh-huh. Everything's coming from China.
Yeah.
And
we can't compete.
Nothing's being made here. So this guy, this guy, Philip Burdett, the principal director of the Wounded Warrior Care Transition Program Office, that contract, which expired November 30th, was the vehicle DOD used to provide a number of the services. So it's no longer in existence,
right,
Bill. We triaged the critical efforts and found efficiencies where we could. We made sure we bridged some critical services. That includes the money for Marine Corps Recovery Coordinators. We made sure they stayed in the community. We wouldn't allow... Now, that's where Kelly Price went.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
She got jacked. At the end of the contract, to effect the Wounded Warrior Care for Marines. For other programs that are deemed necessary, he said officials are starting the process of securing long-term contracts. He said his office is continuing training recovery care coordinators, citing a December effort to train 21. And out of those 21, they have 3 left. However, a source familiar with the office's work said funds for that training had been in the pipeline before the contract ended, and it is unclear where the money to train the future guys will come from. For each recovery care coordinator who won't be trained, 30 service members and their family members will not have the services they need. The 15 contract staffers involved in the Transition Assistance Program, they were cut November 29th, one day after Obama signed the Vow to Hire Heroes Act, which, among other things, requires the DOD substantially improve its transition assistance and make it mandatory for most troops. So basically, they're talking about a life cycle model, Bill. In other words, 5 or 6 years, it's in the news, and then, boom, they disappear. Defense said they already spent $4 billion to develop VTAP, but it had been endorsed by John Campbell, the Deputy Assistant Secretary, who had approved another $1 million for the program last year. It was said his office made arrangements to continue DOD's current TurboTap website for transitioning troops. He also says some of the major elements of the proposed VTAP site are available through other venues. So you got, in other words, the one that they spent $5 million on, it no longer exists. You have to go shop the web to find out where you're going to get your shit from.
Yeah, I want to remind everybody out there listening to me carefully, too, that we now are putting troops in Africa. And if you remember, right now, in an attempt to put a display to rattle our sabers, right now we're loading all kind of American troops up in Australia. Can you believe that? We're sending troops to Australia so that China will know that, hey, we're serious about what's going on. What we're doing in Africa, they say we're not going to war. We're just going over like we did in the beginning of Vietnam. We're sending advisors over.
You know,
lots of advisors in Africa.
And even if they can try and fix this, Bill, if it's fixed, the source here says it would not have the capability to do what it was made to do.
No, exactly. Now, what if all these guys
and all those cuts are set in motion to direction from Cliff Stanley, the former Undersecretary of the Defense for Personnel and Readiness. He resigned in October amid multiple complaints. But you know where he's at now, Bill?
He got a promotion. Usually those guys.
He's on Obama. He's with Obama's chief of staff. In August 17th, an email to the staff members, a copy which was obtained, part of it is in my hand. We did what Stanley wanted, took a hard look, shelved important projects, and saved real money. I want full credit for that, this guy said, for debt.
Yeah.
Fucking prick.
You know, the problem is, I want our sons and I want our daughters to come home, but we got to be realistic. We don't have any jobs for them.
No.
We cannot pull these people out of Africa. We cannot pull these people out of Australia. This talk of streamlining the military, Well, if we take them out of one job, then we're going to have them unemployed on the streets.
Right. And the sad part...
I want them to come home.
Yeah.
I want them to come home.
And the sad part, the very sad part is that when they do come home, I mean, how many... What do you see? 20, 30, 30 of those guys a week in the shop?
We have some guys in there and their head is so damn tight. This is something that Philip and I work on that with the government. If you were a biker before you went overseas and you come back and your head is screwed on tight, and you know why you screwed on tight after whatever you saw over there, you don't exactly work that program where you put the round peg in the square hole. But if you're a biker before you went over, they bring these guys down to our shop. These guys kind of walk around a little bit, and by osmosis, they get to feel the Harley-Davidsons again. Slowly, they talk to other vets. So we have vets helping vets, because the hospitals tell us they're having a hard time reaching for them.
Right.
They are working on new experimental drugs again. You know what that sounds to me? Welcome home, the Vietnam vet guys. We're going to get you on that Agent Orange stuff there. You know, I don't know.
You know, it's just like that program we're involved with, Bill, with the wounded warriors. Down in MCRD.
That's kind of interesting. The government, that's still going, yeah.
Yeah, the government took money, and then on every base there's a hobby shop where you can work on your own car. You get the stuff, reduced prices and stuff. And if you don't know how to do it, they'll show you how to do it. Anyway, they took one corner of the building and fenced it off, and we're going to go down and help a bunch of guys from Balboa Hospital and the Wounded Warriors Project, Foundation, build a bike. The sad part is that they got involved with Kevin at Big Bear Choppers, who, that fucking prick, he took money from guys in Afghanistan a week before he closed, and now those guys are out their money.
You know, I'm going to say this to you right now. I'm going to be a little disagreeing there. I'm waiting for, if Kevin wants to make some statements, then we'll find out about it. Because it's kind of one-sided. He looks guilty as can be. If he wants to make some statements, then we can find out why this happened here.
He's hiding, Bill.
If not, I cannot imagine anybody, because I met Kevin before, you met before. I cannot imagine anybody taking advantage of the American soldiers, be it men or women with this.
Bill, I can show you the emails, Bill.
Oh, I know that, but I'm giving him an opportunity still.
The FBI, Bill. He went on TV. He said he made $18 million. Okay, where'd the $18 million go? He's on TV begging for money. Mm-hmm. He gets a $400,000 loan from the government through Obama with Save the Business Act. Then he gets another $100,000 from Big Bear, the city of Big Bear. Where'd that money go?
Well, that's why I'm saying the facts are right in front of us, but I'm going to hang in there and give this man a chance to try to come on the show. Come on any TV, any radio, newspaper, anything. Just tell us what happened. How could this happen to Americans screwing Americans? No, I'm going to hold on a bit longer and just say, is there any way this man will step up to it? Okay, so let's go over that.
He stepped up. He had his wife's brother, who's an attorney, go online and tell everybody that they're filing for Chapter 13 or 11 or so, they're going bankrupt.
That's, yeah. All right. No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I'm waiting
Bill,
for your man
my beef is...
I know it gets you mad because
these are guys in Afghanistan, Bill. Right. They're coming home next month. They're coming home to no fucking bike that they paid for.
And then
they had the balls to call them back and tell them they needed another $7,000 from each of them. Wire that, and the only thing that they didn't get it because those guys stood up for themselves and said, hey, you promised me the bike at this price. That's what I sent you. So wire fraud, knowing a week before you're going to close the fucking doors and move out in the middle of the night down the riverside, that's fucking bullshit, Bill.
But again, we have not heard this man's story. All I'm hearing is one side. I'm going to be a little bit open. I'm trying not to be more mad than I am. I cannot stand any company that takes advantage of veterans.
Exactly.
But,
it's just like when somebody calls us up, Bill, and they want us to back them up on an event or something. We do our homework first.
We do a lot of homework on that, yeah.
Because, like...
How many organizations, we don't say no, that try to say yes involved, and we find out, hey, the big money's going to CEOs.
Right.
No.
Or they say, well, yeah, we're going to give it all to the charity. Well, no, we want to give it to an individual. Well, you can't just give it to the individual. You got to give it to the charity, okay? So when they tell us they're going to give 100% of what they collect to the charity, and then we find out they gave 10%. And then they want to know why we won't help them again.
No, exactly right. I want to tell you a happy story about this, and I'm getting some more information on this, so I'm jumping the gun a little bit, and I try not to do that often. There's a local guy came back from overseas, blah, 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 blah. He's in a couple tours, young, married. This is straight up. A very prominent businessman right here in North County gave this man a fat boy.
Uh-huh.
I cannot use the businessman's name so because he doesn't want it out there like that, but this guy had a ratty old sporty and all that, and just because he felt there was something he wanted to do, this guy came in my shop today, and I'm going to get all the figures, and I'll tell about this future, the whole story. The guy was, he says, Bill, I got a big bike.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you could have seen the look on the guy's face. It made me feel good even, you know. Some successful businessman out there that said, I don't ride anymore. I want to give this to a vet, blah, blah, blah. And so maybe not next week, couple weeks, I'll give more information on that story about that. But that makes me feel good, you know. That's Americans helping Americans, not Americans screwing Americans.
Well, you know, our favorite guy who goes off on a tangent, Bill, Mr. Ted Nugent.
Ted says,
well, actually, Ted's going to speak out against Obama and gun control. And this is, he's right on the money on this one.
It is.
I'm amused by your reaction. You're still fine.
I mean, you're not
really
amused. It's hilarious.
I'm on a rock and roll stage. I just sang a song about feisty. I mean, you got to be kidding me. On a rock, did you ever see Richard Pryor live? How about Sam Kinison? How about Lenny Bruce? I'm one of them. Get over it. That's some funny.
For a man who is a patriot, who purports to love his country, that was quite shocking disrespect.
Well, let me put it in official CNN Piers Morgan
interview
term. Shall I?
Yes.
My limey friend?
Yes.
Anybody that wants to disarm me can drop dead. Anybody that wants to make me unarmed and helpless, people that want to literally create the proven places where more innocents are killed, called gun-free zones, we're going to beat you. We're going to vote you out of office or suck on my machine gun.
Yes,
you can take it whichever way
you want. I'd love to suck on your machine gun, the whole point of your defense is that a lot of people do drop dead precisely because you are armed to the teeth.
Not
and you'd like everybody else to be.
Not true.
80
here,
people.
Write this down. See, you're so
you write this down. 80 people a day die in America from gunshots.
And 75 of them to 78 of them, statistics by the Uniform Crime Report by the FBI and the UN study on violent crime, 78 of those 80 are let out of their cages by corrupt judges and prosecutors who know that recidivism is out of control, know that they'll commit the crimes again, and they let them walk through plea bargaining, early release, and programs.
They still
kiss my ass.
Yes.
Where you have the most armed citizens in America,
yes.
You have the lowest violent crime rate, where you have the worst gun control, you have the highest crime rate. Piers, choose one. Do you want a lot of crime? We have it. Gun-free zones. Do you want less crime? We have that. More people with concealed weapons permit. Why do you guys resist that statistic?
Well, this is you guys.
It's right? You guys. You are nuts. You're playing the devil's advocate.
I can play any advocate I like.
You're doing a
fine
job.
Right.
You're playing the idiot's advocate here.
Idiot's
more
advocate.
Guns equals less crime.
You're
period.
Right. Unless I'm wrong, and I don't want to kick,
be sure to let you
kick your ass at this point, if you don't mind. Unless I'm wrong with your argument, well, you're basically saying that 90% of the gun crime comes from people let out of prison.
96%.
Right. But they still have to get access to firearms. If you had your way, there would be 10 times as many firearms, right?
Not true at all.
You want everyone in America to own a gun?
Not at all. I've never said this.
What's your position?
And I got to tell you.
What is your position?
And I hope you don't edit this out. Whenever I've done interviews with guys that are inclined to be anti-gun, they always go, well, you want everybody to have a machine gun. Nugent wants all the deer dead.
What does Nugent want?
Not even close.
What do you want?
What I want is the Second Amendment. We the people, free individuals, to have the right to keep and bear arms for self-defense. Find fault with that.
Let's just talk about that for a second. Just because I have a beer in my refrigerator does not mean I have to go home and drink that beer from my refrigerator. Just because I have a gun in my house does not mean I have to go home and shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It is my prerogative to have a beer. It is my prerogative to have a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to do the right thing. I think everybody has that choice. I would not want everybody like Prohibition days. Everybody stop drinking. I don't want it. Anybody out there? Angel, anybody out there? How do you feel about that? The right to have a weapon the right to have a drink, the right to have medical marijuana. How do you feel about that?
Well, my views on that one is I have several guns, I have several beers, and, well, I live in a state where medical marijuana is not legal, so I would like it to be. Yeah, I always tell everybody that if somebody wants to take away my guns, they better be snipers or something, because I will be shooting back as they're trying to take my guns. I believe in protecting my family. I have three kids. And if you're going to try to come into my house and hurt me or my kid, you're not going to make it out alive. I have my concealed weapons permit. I carry my gun with me. I believe in my Second Amendment right, and I'm going to keep carrying my weapons. So I've never had a
Bill?
Problem. My neighborhood
Bill?
Respects me.
Hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I have a permit too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, all of my neighbors, I've got two other single mom neighbors that live near me, and they come running to my house if they hear a noise, you know, and to me that tells me, well, I'm ready to protect my neighborhood, and they're not. I have my kids out here. I have a large backyard, so we actually shoot in my backyard, and, you know, so like I was training my nine-year-old son on his, I just bought him for Christmas, he got his own first gun, and it's just, you know, one of those little pump BB guns that shoots pellets and stuff, but, you know, he needs to learn somewhere. And, you know, so we went through gun safety and all that other stuff. I mean, I don't believe in people just shoot people because they have a gun. I don't believe in that. I think that's a crock of shit. I think people say that kind of bullshit just to get people to give up their guns.
Just teach them how to take headshots.
Right. Well, you know, my dad trained me, and maybe it was his military training or what, but he used to always tell me, you know what, if somebody's going to come in your house, and you shoot them. And you don't just shoot them, you shoot them dead, he says, because then you have your side of the story to tell. If somebody's going to come in my house, I'm going to shoot them dead. I have it posted. I do not dial 911. I will shoot you. You know, thank God I haven't had to, you know, have that happen at my house, and I pray it never has to, but I'm prepared if it does, and so are my children. So, you know, I mean, if they try to take my good whiskey away, they're going to be fighting me on that too. I think it's a crock of shit. My favorite song in the world is from Hank Williams. I'm in the Coalition Against Coalition. You ain't taking my guns, you ain't taking my whiskey, you ain't taking my beer, and, you know, if I lived in a state where medical marijuana was legal, you wouldn't be taking my marijuana either. So, I think it's ridiculous. Do what you want to do, I'll do what I want to do, leave me alone.
I'd like to quote our great statesman, Benjamin Franklin. He said, and I want to quote exactly, "Your rights stop where the tip of my nose starts." And to sum that up, what you want to do in your own neighborhood, do not interfere in my life. Do not touch my nose. Do not get that close to me. Then interfere in my life. If you're not, who am I to judge you?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Bill, you know, I got something right here. This is something Ted did, Bill. You want to read what that says, Bill?
Sure, let me get my glasses on because I just took them off to take a drink. Hang on. Where are we at now, Ted? I got the tent. Bikini girls testing machine guns. Where do you find this from?
They're going to shoot full automatic AK-47 MP5s and a Barrett 50 BMG. 50.
I don't know what that even means.
Well, I'll show you right here.
We're out here at the Hogue Range doing some research and development with our new products for the AK-47 and the MP5. We're doing some testing on the controllability of these fully auto firearms. What better way to do it with a couple of gorgeous women? We'll be right back.
shells are recoiling and those girls in bikinis. aren't those shells hot?
I stopped it just before they
because
get burned.
Because I was worried about
I stopped it just before they got burned.
Oh, they get burned later? Because
yeah.
I can see that little shell going right down between those large, that upper torso of the young lady. Ow. Ow. Well, being a vet, I've certainly fired enough weapons and done all that, but for people who are not vets and people who have never had the opportunity to be around weapons, Phil was talking about going to schools, get training. Why should we be afraid of weapons? Why should we be afraid of a shovel? How about a hammer? For God's sakes, if you train properly, then they're tools, not weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You need to put a nail in it, you get a hammer. You dig a hole, you get your shovel. You defend yourself. He or she attacking your house has a gun. You don't have a gun. You're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
One man or one woman with a gun can break in your house and hold your whole family hostage because you don't have anything to defend yourself. All I'm saying to you is play on a level field. Have a weapon so they'll know if they come in, you can defend your children. The idea that mother just said about being there for her children, God help anybody. I'm very mellow. God help anybody that runs into my wife that would attack any of our grandkids. My wife would shoot so many holes in them, we'll think it twice. Got that mama bear thing going.
It's music to my ears, Bill.
Well, you know, I don't think myself I need a machine gun that big. What is that? How many rounds is that? Something crazy?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was an M134, Bill.
The minigun. Oh my God. Okay. Again, I would appreciate you having that next to me if that's something you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
I'm not uncomfortable.
Well, Bill, you know what that's actually made for? It's when you absolutely positively have to kill every motherfucker in the room.
See that Marine Corps training goes, you just can't let it go, can you? every now and then it just comes right out again. Okay, well, I don't know. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I don't drink. And I just told you I have beer in my house. I have a fully stocked bar in my house. If you come over to dinner and the lady likes a glass of wine and one of my partners likes a beer or something like that, I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not somebody saying, oh, no, you can't have a drink. Of course you can have a drink. Be
yeah.
responsible with us.
Just because I don't drink doesn't mean you can't.
I'm not
going to
hide alcohol in my house.
Yeah, I don't hide.
No.
I don't drink. I don't.
No,
hide.
I, when I go to a friend's house, they have iced tea for me.
Mm-hmm.
In your case, you get a Pepsi here for me.
Right. Nora says baseball bats work.
Well, right next to my bed, I guess they
Shirley,
have one.
Shirley, and Shirley gives you the best piece of advice, Bill. If they're outside, make sure you drag them inside.
Drag them inside, indeed. I got one of those, what do you call those, tire checkers?
Yeah.
Right next to the headboard.
You talking about a tire wrench?
Those baseball bats to cut down, to check the tires with, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my wife sleeps better knowing that that's right next to my reach. I got to go a little distance to get my gun, but the wife likes the fact that I'll run out there with a baseball bat and the fool's got a gun, but it makes her feel better, I think.
Well,
she'll be able to get the gun while I got the baseball bat. That'll work one way.
Hello, caller on Skype.
Cool. You want to say something? Or you just want to listen to us? Skype, you out there?
Caller on Skype, you're live. Okay.
Yeah, you just listen if you want. Join in. We just want.
Hello, Pete.
Hey. Hi, Bill. Hi, Phil.
Hey.
What's up?
Good evening. Gino's with me here.
Yeah.
So listen, Pete, Gina, before we start anything, I got to tell you, last week I had a little setback medically with my family, so I was out. I got the one video of the love ride, and I want to give that to Phil this week. Does he have your address?
I got to do that. I was sick for a while, Bill. I got to send that all that information to Phil. I was sick for quite a while, for quite a few days.
I
called Tuesday and the show, and I couldn't even talk. I've been so freaking sick, but I'm on it, so.
I forgot, but I had some family emergencies. The diabetes is catching my wife, and I'm not going through all that stuff. But, man, it gave us a little setback with more doctors and all that. But I will follow through, and I'll bring the stuff over for Phil. So next couple of weeks, whatever, we'll get that out to you. Okay, buddy?
I'll get you a couple of my movies, too.
Hey, okay, what do you want to talk about tonight? We're talking about guns. We're talking about freedom, choices.
everyone should have a gun in their house. You know what I use? I use a pick handle.
Pick handle?
Yeah.
That's old school.
Up close and personal, huh?
You know what I use? I use my Rottweilers.
I'm a felon. I can't have a gun, so I got to have something.
Yeah, I use my dogs. They break in my house. I got my Rottweilers right here.
I got to tell you, I have a giant bull mastiff, which
I
had to go out and buy a Rottweiler because that bull mastiff doesn't... he would hold a flashlight in his mouth while you rob me. He's such a nice guy. But my female Rottie, do not go into my yard. Do not come near my house. She wakes the big guy up. That Rottie is a guard dog. The bull mastiff, he's just a...
Mastiffs and a wolf. I got a wolf.
Wolf, okay.
He has a real wolf in his backyard.
Yeah, you can't get in my backyard.
It's a nice wolf, though. It's nippy, though. It tries to nip at you and stuff, you know. It's not really aggressive, though.
Yeah, well, that's because I wanted to play with my children.
Thing ate seven hamburgers within 3 seconds. We went to McDonald's. We got three double cheeseburgers. And the thing ate, I'm not kidding you, it ate seven cheeseburgers within 10 seconds.
Hold on one second. We got a caller from 708.
708, talk to us. Hi,
Bill. Hi, Bill. It's Nora.
How you doing, Nora?
Hi.
Not too bad. In regards to protecting, if you have a family, it doesn't matter if you're single, married, whatever, you're going to do whatever it takes to keep the family safe, bottom line. I mean, being out here, I don't know what it's like in California, never been there, but being here, it's just a must. So if you don't have guns, I mean, I did have them, got rid of them, but there's other means, there's bats, there's whatever you got, you just use it, you know.
You know, especially around a biker house, if you're canvassing an area, you get Harleys going in and out of a house and all that, that's probably not the house you want to rob. But if we have a woman raising a child or two children...
Well, look what happened in Oklahoma last week, Bill.
Yeah.
She called the 911 operator, and the operator told her...
What should I do?
No, she asked her
what
should
I
do,
yeah.
And she said, you do what you have to do.
That's it. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, I was going to say, just to quickly, Mama Bear's going to protect the cubs. That's all there is to it, yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, my kids call me the bully, you know, and I take that in full, you know, like an 8+. If somebody's kids are here, I protect them as well. I don't care what happens. You know, a child is a child. And if their parents aren't here to protect them, damn straight I will. You know, but that's just me. I mean, people look at me, I'm only 5'2". They laugh. What are you going to do? I said, yeah, watch me.
Like radio.
Huh?
No, I love you. I know what you mean.
Right. But like I said, I mean, you know, it's just being besides the parent, when I was growing up, it was just my brother and I. And he was older. He was always picked on. And, you know, the kids made fun of him. Oh, here comes the little sister to protect you. I was a brute, you know, because family's family. They come first. That's it.
I'd asked my wife earlier, I said, you know, what was it you found so attractive about me? My exceptionally good looks, my charm, my personality, my Harley Davidson.
She felt sorry for you.
And the wife said to me, because you're a strong man. Now, she did not mean physically. I mean, I'm always 6 foot. No, she meant because I'm a strong man. And she felt she could put her head on my shoulder and close her eyes, trusting I would do the right thing. But not every woman does have a man there. So this is the stuff I think women have to have a gun. That's how I feel about that.
I was taught how to shoot one at the age of 14. That was by one of my brother's friends. And I love him to pieces to this day. And I thank him every time. Thank you.
over there where I grew up by Taylor and Halstead, I learned at 8.
Oh, Taylor and Halstead. Okay. I'm just south of Midway Airport.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah.
I grew up in Harvey.
Oh, I grew up six blocks.
It's rough now.
I grew up 6 blocks from Greeny Green. My dad worked for the
city. I know what it is.
Yeah, my dad worked for the city, so he was...
That's some yuppie area, huh?
No.
I know.
She'll tell you, that was a rough part of town, dude. And being the only white kid in the neighborhood, fuck. I was on my guard every day.
That's how Harvey is. I mean, it was fine when, you know, early 70s, it was all white, you know, now it's predominantly black. So when I went to high school there, yeah, it was 95% black, you know. So you always had to go into school packing or something. You know, I had a blackjack. Ooh, I shouldn't say that.
I learned at a young age.
No, I think you two are exaggerating, because, in fact, I flew a couple of years ago back to Chicago.
Yeah, you never left the airport.
I was met right at the airport and taken out to Palatine. It seemed to be like a very nice area. So
Palatine's that rich, uppity neighborhood you're talking about.
Well, Cabrini Green isn't there anymore.
No,
they
I know.
They tore it down.
Yeah, they were going to build yuppie houses or some shit there now, I heard.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, all the residents there moved to the suburbs now.
Yeah.
Which is, like, from where I'm at in a little town called Worth and South. They're all coming in. It's crazy.
Yeah, I got relatives in Tinley Park, Kyle, over there by McHenry County.
Oh, I'm only 8 minutes from Tinley Park. Yeah.
And I got people up on the north side.
So, see, if you ever come this way, I'm 8 minutes from Tinley Park. There you go.
You haven't been home in a while, have you?
No, actually, Bill, I haven't been home since my mom passed, though.
Yeah, I never think about that, yeah.
Because,
I mean, this is home for you now, but
yeah.
This still is your
Well, yeah, all my relatives thought I was going to be dead by the time I was 25.
Me and your partner, being with you is not always that easy. It's a little difficult.
Not me.
Well, I just thought I would put in my input in regards to, you know, it's the first time listening to your show, but it's actually the third time I'm listening to one of the blog radio shows. So I'm new to this. Shirley dragged me into it. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, I like what you guys are talking about. You know.
This is a rare occasion for us because Shirley's in the chat room.
Hi, Shirley.
Oh,
two guys
hi,
in the background. These are
hello, Pete.
No,
these are
I'm,
East Coast.
I dozed off for a few minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I'm
in
talking to you, too.
It knocks me out. Oh, okay.
So, you guys bring up great points on your radio show, or internet show, I'm sorry. So every Tuesday and Thursday you guys do this?
Yeah, well, we had a gig on AM radio until Bill talked about going up north to he told all the South Koreans in the United States to meet him at LAX. They were going to fly to North Korea.
South Korea first.
Go town by town, street by street, till they got to Kim Jong Un, and threw him out of office because
they want to shave his head.
They want to shave his head because he told people their hair couldn't be longer than an inch, and if it was a comb over, if they were bald, it couldn't be longer than an inch and a quarter.
I wanted one Korea, South Korea, North Korea. One Korea. I wanted freedom. I wanted democracy. Freedom. And lo and behold, the FCC came to us.
That was the first one.
You cannot advocate the overthrow of a foreign government on radio.
Okay.
Oh, they won $10,000, but they saw my satire.
Yeah, so then a couple weeks later.
I've got other problems though.
So then a couple weeks later, it was mentioned to Bill that Communist China doesn't have one motorcycle club.
Yeah. I belong in Blog Talk Radio. I try not to. I just talk about things that interest me. And the purpose of this show is, and this is very important, we want to talk to people around the world because what you have to say is what we want to hear. If there's a law being passed in your state today, it could affect Philip and I tomorrow.
Well, it's like we always say, whatever happens on the East Coast is going to happen here on the West Coast and vice versa, because it does. Look at that bullshit about the exhaust pipes.
It
started in Boston, and
yeah,
we had some clown in North L.A. got it passed that from 2013 below is grandfathered in, and everything else has to be compliant.
Yeah.
But I still can't figure out how you're going to get a fucking highway patrol on I-5 at 4:30 in the afternoon after you just rolled 20 miles at 80 miles an hour, how fucking hot that bike's going to be. And that dumb prick's supposed to get under there and tell you where your EPA sticker is.
Late at night by yourself on the reasonable probable cause. What we said over and over is there's a lot of great blog talk shows over there, and they're certainly more professional than we ever going to be. We've never tried to imply that we're professional or anything. Guys that want to talk to
my house in the kitchen.
Yeah, and we just want to know what other people got to say in America. We know we're
being I'm not looking for professional. It's just you guys are real out there. You know, it's just like Hermit. You know,
I've heard this show twice,
and that's what I like in regards to, you know, it's almost like you're sitting at the table talking, kind of, sort of, you know what I mean? And that's what it should be like, not what the government deems us to do or not to do.
Well, when I was raised, all the business was conducted at the kitchen table. And when Bill and I started to do this, Bill asked me where we're going to do it, and I said it at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
Where are we sitting?
I'm from South Boston originally, the all-Irish neighborhood, Irish Catholic lad. Every Sunday, my grandparents to the grandchildren, we always met at the kitchen table or at the dinner table, the dining, whatever, at the table anyway, for a meal. Whole families got together. So that's how we visualize our listeners. We're one big family. We've never shut anybody off. We've never said we disagree with you.
No.
Negative. I may say at the end of your conversation, well, I don't agree with that. That's my prerogative. But we never shut anybody down. We don't say stop talking or cut them off. No. We want to hear what you have to say because this is America, Americans talking to Americans. Congress wants to, we're being investigated right now by Congress. What they want to do is, they say they're trying to make this program
better.
Well, no,
better. I know the FBI and the DEA and all them are investigating us, but
I know.
Also we got the fucking feds on our back through Congress.
Yeah. They want to make this show better. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the show is free.
Okay.
It's reaching out to how many countries?
Right now, Bill, we're I'll tell you right now exactly. Okay. Just for our stats and our audience, okay? Right now, we have the United Kingdom, Germany, India, Australia, Canada, Russia, South Africa, France, New Zealand, and Italy. The Ukraine, Switzerland, and Brazil.
Russia,
Germany, and Germany. And the United Kingdom.
We had one man, remember? China.
And Russia.
One guy from China, and if he got caught, he came back for a couple of weeks.
He forgot Russia.
How many Russians?
8,362.
Yeah, I knew it. You see that?
Told you. Excuse me.
Yeah, but we have friends in Moscow.
Uh-oh, Gino has a question.
I just want to say one story. We were talking about Doug. I just want you to hear this because this was really great. My dog got loose, and he's a wolf. And they caught him and all that in the state, and they put him in the jail, you know, thing there. And for 4 days, they didn't feed him because they were scared. They knew he was a Siberian wolf. Well, that's what they said. My girl went in there with, you know, like Pete was talking about hamburgers, with four hamburgers. And they says, you can't go in there. That dog is vicious and all that. And Rose went in there and went, Angel. And the dog was going, rrr. And he looked at her, and he ran up, grabbed the hamburgers. She put the leash on him, and she's walking out. The dog was so happy to see her because, you see, wolves are home. They love, they know home. And when she put the leash on, she's walking up. The lady says, well, that's $40, you know. She turns around and says, you didn't even feed my dog for 4 days. You think I'm going to give you $40? I think that was great.
I don't. That animal control office is a bitch anyway.
I know, but I thought what she did was cool. I got to get a kick out of her. She's Sicilian, too. That's probably why.
$40. She doesn't make enough money, you know.
No, but
you know, Bill, we got a couple of compliments here.
What, on our show we got compliments?
We got compliments, Bill. Let me tell you.
Please share.
Oh, I'm not sorry. I didn't know it was going to be that way, Nora. But Art says some people are so sensitive. And what do we tell them, Bill? Your two favorite words?
Shut up. That's all. You don't like what we're saying, shut up. You don't like what hear what other people are saying, go find another show.
Exactly. You know, and then and this to me, there's three compliments here from one lady here, Bill. The first one is, she says, she's telling Nora that we're the big dogs. The second one she says is she loves running with the big dogs.
We all like to run with the big dogs.
Third one
otherwise,
says,
the puppies stay on the porch.
Exactly. And she says, the third one she says is they speak my language.
Well.
Yeah, which is what we look at. I'm sorry.
The compliment? One more?
One more. We all talk at once. When we're talking, we all talk at once. Because you know and I know. It's like this, Nora. You get 10 people to get a ticket, okay?
Right.
Out of those 10 people, how many are going to pay that ticket?
Oh, I don't know. I've never had one. I'm sorry.
9, because I don't pay tickets. I go to court.
Exactly.
I've never had a ticket or a moving violation ever, so I don't know. I'm assuming there are right people out there that would do it right away. I mean, but that's under an assumption, which could make me look like an ass. But I'd like to believe that there's most people that will do the right thing.
Well, right, but 9 out of 10 people, it's easier to just send the money because the fucking court system is the biggest fucking Ponzi scheme out there. You get to go in, you get to say what you're going to say, they let you say what you're going to say, and then they fucking decide, they already decided before you walked up to the podium, you're going to get fucked.
Right.
I went yesterday.
You need to make revenue.
Yeah,
you have to understand that. You're pretty much, you're fighting the losing cause because it's all revenue.
Trust me. I went yesterday, okay? I ordered the court CD, which I'm going to play as soon as I get. And I'll put that out there couple days before. If it's on, if I get it Friday, I'll put it out for Tuesday. If I get it Tuesday, I'll put it out for Thursday. But I'm gonna play that CD here, and you're gonna listen to two fucking paid, trained liars. They listen to my arguments, and still the fucking guy, Bill. If you're gonna say I'm speeding,
right?
Okay, and you're on a motorcycle. And I send you a discovery to ask you for all the maintenance records and everything on that bike, and you come to court with the fucking paper that says your bike hasn't been certified for 2.5 years, and you're sitting up on that fucking chair, and you're going to tell me I'm going to find you guilty?
Because they're using equipment that's not validated. They
Thank
have
you.
No leg to stand on.
And I made sure the fucking guy said that 3 times for the basis of my appeal. It's only $232. That's $232. I'm not going to fucking give them.
Well, but, and again, too, though, you're doing this for a lot of Americans that don't feel comfortable. So,
friends
that are afraid to do it, and you show them how to do it.
Okay. Go ahead.
They only give you $100. Sometimes if you bring it to court, they'll cut the cost.
Gino.
This is California,
dude.
Need all the money.
They fuck you so bad, they'll give you a reach around just to get more.
I'm not that nice. So I was in California. It's hard to get a ticket. Unless you're on a bike. You're right about that.
Hey, I stood right there. The guy asked me. I said, these guys have stopped me so many times. He goes, how many times? I said, 27. And I pointed to the guy and said, he makes 28. And he goes, so in those 28 times you were doing nothing wrong? I said, no, but I'm here. Here's what I'm going to tell you. The last time I was here, for the ticket that you dismissed in the interest of justice after you found out that they took my helmet, my gun, my hammer, and my knife and thought that I was gonna call somebody to bring me a helmet to get back on my bike and ride away. And what did I do, Bill? I got on the fucking bike, did a wheelie with no helmet on, and kept going.
Of course, he wonders why do they seem
law?
To aggravate him. I had the world record.
You guys have a helmet law out there?
They'd be doing 38 and the 35. Okay, yeah. Blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah, blah, blah.
Hey, that same fucker pulled me over
and
said I was doing 36 and the 35.
Did you hear this? He had to break my record. I'm doing 38 and the 35. They got him for doing 36 and the 35.
Pulled me over for doing 36 miles an hour and a fucking 35.
We have a helmet law in California.
There is a helmet law in California. They don't have one here.
Let it get me down. Don't be riding with a helmet. Did you know that? Because I lived in Bridgeport at the time. Nobody wore helmets. Because nobody wore, they couldn't make up the tickets. They couldn't.
There's no helmet law in Connecticut, though.
That's how you beat the helmet law. First of all, it's constitutional to tell you what to wear on your head.
Well, let me tell you this, Gino.
Massachusetts that way.
Let me tell you this. Here's how this conversation started with this guy. First of all, when he walked up, he thought I was somebody else.
Oh, Okay.
Boy.
He thought I had on a shirt hanging out the bottom. My good friends gave it to me. Someone also has an autographed one. I had that hanging out the bottom of the back of my jacket. They pulled me over, walked up, and called me by the other person's name, and I said, that's not me. Now, I'm wearing a full face with a dark shield and a black Dyna at 4:15 in the morning when this took place. When he pulled me over, I put my hands up. He walked up and he asked me, why did I put my hands up? Because you got a fucking gun and I can't reach mine. He says, take off the helmet. I want to see your face. So I lifted up the front folds up. I opened it up. He looked at my face. He goes, you're not this guy. And he said his name. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, well, where is he? I don't fucking know. Where are you going? Point A. Where are you coming from? Point B. You're not going to answer any of my questions. I don't have to answer your questions. No, am I under arrest? No, I'm just conducting an investigation. Well, I choose not to participate or give up any of my Fourth Amendment rights. Am I free to leave?
You, sir, are an American arriving on an American street. You're a family man. You work for the. You have a steady job. Why should you have to tell police officers where you're going?
Exactly.
That makes no sense. If they ask for ID, give them ID. You don't have to say where you've been, where you're going. No, we don't do that. We do not need to be afraid of our police officers. They need to be afraid of us.
Exactly. Because
nobody is asking them when the next time their trip is going to the donut shop.
No. You see, you and Philip hanging out, both of you being in jail. I'll be bailing you two out together. Sarcasm in there. You and Philip work out real well.
But it's being honest, though. We're not asking them where they're going or what they're doing.
You have got 30 to 45 seconds on each traffic stop to decide who is going to run this traffic stop. The officer doesn't know who you are, so you've got to be prepared to control the traffic stop. And that's what we try to do. Again, not being sarcastic. Don't say, what the F you want. Don't say, good afternoon, officer. No. Answer yes or no to the questions. And as Philip said, am I free to go? End of conversation. Philip doesn't need to make new friends. The police officer.
I got enough fucking friends, Bill. I don't need new friends.
The police officer doesn't want to make new friends. We tell people, don't be nervous around the police. Answer yes or no. And stop shooting yourself in the foot by giving information out.
Let's see. I'm looking for this one. No, I'm looking for this one, Bill. I'm looking. I put it on the block, but I'm trying to find the what to do during a police stop. I just wrote it, and put it up there the other day, and I can't remember what the heading is.
Techniques that we use while you're doing that is, again, police pulls you up on the motorcycle, lights you up, you pull your vehicle off the side of the road, you shut your vehicle off right away.
No.
That's what I do.
Okay, that's what you do.
Shut the vehicle
off. What I did. The guy got, I thought he was going to trip over his feet to get to me. And he said, I turned the bike off. And he goes, I didn't tell you to turn the bike off.
My choice to do it. I turn the vehicle off right away. So once he gets out of the car and walks to my vehicle, he's not going to think I'm going to take off like a bat out of hell.
Bill, how am I going to take off when I put my hands up?
I just tell you points out. I say shut the light.
Well, you know, the bad part is, Bill, when those guys go to the academy, mm-hmm. they're still teaching them at fucking Biker 101 from 1973.
The films, yeah.
It's like going to watch that old fucking VD movie.
You know, when I get pulled over, I do not reach your ID. I wait for them to ask me. If they don't ask me, I don't pull nothing out. Don't shoot yourself in the foot, boys and girls.
You know, they just changed the knife law last June in California.
Again,
okay? So Oceanside goes with the standard by the state, okay? Now, for everybody out there listening to me, if they tell you you have a knife in your pocket and it's visible, I carry mine in my left back pocket. You can, when I sit on my bike, you can see it, okay? It's not concealed. I'm not hiding it. I've had them take two away from me that they said weren't legal. But you know what I did and pissed them off? I asked them for a receipt for my property.
Always ask their receipt.
You have the right to ask for a receipt. Just like you have the right, by rights, you have, this is what I was looking for, Bill. Just because this guy, I wrote this because this guy told me he didn't have any business cards and his name was on the ticket. Okay?
Right.
Which, It looked like a fucking fourth grader wrote
it. He doesn't have to give you a business card.
Yes, he does.
He has to show you his ID.
No, he doesn't. Right here. You have the right to ask the officer for the business card by law. The officer has to present his or her business representation to you. It's best to ask for the business card at the time when the officer confronts you at the stop. That's the first thing I say. I don't say, what'd you stop me for? Because I'm not going to argue with
yourself, yeah.
I ask them, let me have one of your business cards. Why do you need my business card? So I know who I'm talking to.
That's right.
Okay? If you do not ask the officers for the officer's business card, you might be confronted with impersonating an official officer of the law. There are steps that I take every time, and only once the officer did have his business card, and he stated that he ran out. I said, I need one, or I will call the sheriff of your possible impersonating an officer. I'm getting excited. I got to slow down to read this. Okay, believe me, the officer walked back to his vehicle cruiser, called for another guy with a business card, and the second officer presented his business card as a witness to the first officer. Too many people get arrested without a remedy because of not knowing the proper procedures. So I learned all this by having a lawyer as a friend. You know, everybody says lawyers should be at the bottom of the fucking ocean. Some of them are good guys.
I got stuff going on. We got two guys helping out
with something right now.
Yeah.
But like Bill said, the thirst.
Get a lawyer that doesn't, where you get arrested, get a lawyer from another city, because that's the only way you're going to get a good lawyer.
Exactly.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, good point there.
But like Bill said, you got to be in control at all times. The law officers work for the moneymakers, the federal courts, not you. The official, federal and county, whatever. The officials have to answer to the courts 24/7. It's just like this. If they tell me I'm under arrest, they put me in the back of the car, they take me to the station, you know, they have to, if you ask for a judge, they have to get you in front of a judge in the first 8 hours, Bill.
You have to request it.
If you don't request it, it's not going to happen.
Speedy trial, but you have to say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you.
Another concern I have is when I get lit up, I look in the mirror.
Yeah,
if
when you get lit.
If it's a woman cop, I want to drive to where it's safely lit up because I don't want that woman inappropriately touching me or doing anything like that. And another thing that does not work for me, I tried it last week. They pulled me over. I said, hey, I'm friends with Gino and Pete back in Boston. And that didn't do good at all either, man. They put me right away in jail. I don't know.
They shot you with the taser, too.
I told them, I said, no, I'm Pete and Gino's friend. They went, oh, that, bam, 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 bam. Oh, it didn't work out so good.
Jesus, don't ever mention Gino's name. He'll definitely go to jail.
I beat them in court a lot of times, too. You know how I beat my helmet law in Massachusetts? The judge says the helmet law doesn't tell you where to put the helmet because I had the helmet on the back. I had it, you know, tied to my back. I didn't have it on my helmet. Even though it's
I had one tied to my elbow, and then
yeah,
I got a baseball cap.
Even though it's helmet, it doesn't tell you where to put the helmet. And that,
correct.
That's how I beat it. We were pissed off at that one, boy. Chased me for weeks.
Nora, yeah, anybody can
be beaten, you know. Law is easy to beat because every law contradicts another law.
Yes.
You just got to find the right law to contradict.
Education is everything. Education is everything. And how you present yourself.
I learned that in prison.
What is Nora trying to say?
She asked me if anybody can see this. Anybody can see it wherever they're at. And it gets this show will be archived. Tomorrow we'll probably get 3,000 or 4,000 downloads.
Well,
I had no idea. Okay,
well,
I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to get back on the chat, and thank you for inviting me to your show.
Absolutely.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, I won't be a stranger, I promise. I'll come every week.
And the other thing I want to tell you is if you're having a bad day and somebody shit on you at work, just make sure when you get into the show, you have that phone number, and I'll call them from here.
Okay, I will.
Bye. I'll give him a piece.
Bye, Pete. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right,
bye.
Thank you for joining
bye.
Us.
But I have. You're welcome.
You have what?
You too.
Oh, I have a baseball cap with a dot with DOT on the back of the bill.
Do you?
That I wear.
Really?
If I put the helmet on my elbow, I got a baseball cap that is the same one that Quig was using. It was a memoriam after Quig when they made those hats, but it was given to me by Ray Hinkey. I rode back from West Hollywood, and Don't go with the jokes,
Bill. I was sitting there biting my tongue.
Don't go with the jokes, Bill. Anyway, from West Hollywood to Oceanside.
I don't go up there.
Yeah.
Go by yourself.
From West Hollywood to Oceanside, California, I rode down I-5, 405 to I-5, to my house with a baseball cap on with a dot sticker on the back of it.
I personally don't know anybody in that town you're talking about.
Away with that. You got away with it, right?
That's hey, impressive. Sometimes you pull, sometimes you get the horns, you know?
Okay, I'm going to get back on the chat. You guys have a great night. Thank you again for inviting me. Phil, it was great. Same with you,
appreciate
Bill.
Appreciate you trying
you.
To keep Philip straight.
No, that's not me. Okay, you guys have fun. I'll see you up on the chat.
Okay.
Okay,
Shirley,
bye.
Bye-bye. Shirley wants to know if we want her bad list, Bill.
Shirley wants to know what now?
If we want... hey, you want my bad list now?
I somehow think Shirley can kind of probably take care of some of her own problems.
Oh,
she got that quiet, shy little girl look about her. I'm sure, you know, she's okay, though.
Those are the ones you got to watch out for.
Yeah. Always, always.
Well, we got Ragdoll says she put a warning label on her Freedom Fighter cap that reads, warning, helmet may not protect you from legislative bullshit.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah,
so,
well,
Ryan, what do you think about all this? You're sitting in the weeds in there. Just perk up, my friend.
Oh, no, I'm just listening, man. It's all good. Well, I couldn't agree more with the gun control. I think it's a crock of shit when they start taking away your rights. It's just little by little, and pretty quick we're all screwed.
Well, how are the laws over there in Greeley, where you're at?
You know, actually, they're not too awful bad. You know, you can carry it in plain sight if you want to. If you've got a handgun, strap it to your hip. But what they'll do is they'll get you for public disturbance because somebody else gets nervous about it. But it's perfectly legal to carry. Concealed carry licenses are fairly easy to get with the background check. And, you know, basically you can't go within 200 feet of a school or a bank or there's a couple other federal buildings and things you got to stay away from.
You going to the bar?
You know what? You can have them in the bar, I believe, if you have the permit. Otherwise, you cannot. I'll have to double check on that, but I think that's okay.
What about going to the police station?
Well, you know, Bill, I went to the police station yesterday to pick up some IA complaints, and I forgot to take the knife out of my pocket.
You just one of these days I'm going to be on the phone to everybody asking everybody to donate a few bucks so I can get you out on bail. I swear to God, you live such a fine line. You walk that fine line almost every single day. I know you. You won't give in. You're going to sit right there. And just, you're going to aggravate them. That's just the way life is. But then it wouldn't be you if you weren't you. That's the way it is, I guess. Hey, is Art still on the show? Did Art check out?
No, Art's still there.
Hey, Art, are you going to do that event for up at, where the hell are we going? I forgot again now.
Mount Soledad?
The Mount Soledad for
John
Del Santo. Are you going to be going up for that one?
Which, by the way, people, John Del Santo was in, just like the Amber Alert signs, John was instrumental in the state of California to get that put up, that look twice, motorcycles are everywhere.
And John was the best research person we ever had in our life. A lot of times we need information. He'd be on the computers and all that, getting information to Screwdriver and I because we're pretty ignorant. Anyway, Art, you going to make that party? He's not coming. Okay. Well,
He's not on. Yes, he said yes, Bill.
He's going to be okay. Okay, Art, right after the get-together, a lot of guys are going down to the, what the hell is that?
Definitely, he says.
Okay. After we leave the Mount Soledad, he's going to VFW?
I don't know if he's going to go to VFW.
Okay, Screwdriver and I are going to drift on up north to a little chili cook-off. Are you going to do the VFW, or are you going to go back up to the Biggs Chili, you know? Well, I guess we're not going to pick that up today. Well, if he's going to be at the Life Memorial, whatever, we'll talk to him then at that point there.
Yeah. Well, he's typing in. He's typing in, Bill.
Okay, then.
So, yeah, John got the Freedom Fighter Award from Abate this year, Bill.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you really are more the political activist than I am. I don't really... I seem to argue with those guys an awful lot. Not just debate. I seem to argue with everybody. If, and I've said this so many times, if one day all of our political organizations would ever come together, think of the strength that we would have. But blow off the ego that it takes to run
the
organization.
Blow off the ego, the politics, because,
yeah.
I mean, right now, Bill, the show is neutral. Anybody,
right.
Anybody from any club will give them airtime.
That's right.
Okay? The only thing that I suggest is they do not mention what club they are.
Right.
They can come on as a motorcycle rider. They can come on as a Harley rider.
Right.
They can come on as a biker. But the politics, you check it at the door.
Yeah, we don't want anybody to offend another motorcycle club. We do not want the violence to escalate. Right now, as you know, we have a couple things that we're getting involved with where this violence has escalated. We're trying to bring it down. So anybody can come in, state the club if they're not involved in any politics. For God's sake,
well,
let's enjoy that anyway. So as he says, he's
because right here, right here is the medium.
Right.
To get to the next level, to where we all have a voice, to get to where we need to go.
Communication, dialogue.
Communication, that's it.
Dialogue's
that's why,
to you and me, yeah.
Well, I mean, we've had guys from the north, we've had guys from the south, we've had guys from the east, west, all on the show, and they all had good stuff to say, as long as we didn't bring the politics into it.
Yeah, you know, there's two sides to every story and all that. And,
exactly, Shirley said how, that's what I meant, Shirley, a biker, whatever, but a regular person. Just be yourself. Just come on and be yourself. If something's bothering you or you're having a bad day, just be yourself. This is your avenue to vent. This is where I'm not a psychiatrist. Bill's not a psychiatrist, but between the 70, 75 years between us, we might know something.
Hey. Yeah, 45 years, we better. I'm 65.
Well, I'm only 63, but I've had a hard 63, unlike you, my pampered East Coast friend.
Hey, we got a snowstorm here today.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. You guys aren't pampered. I couldn't live like that. Being from South Boston, I couldn't do that. I couldn't. Who the hell would I talk to locked up inside a snowstorm?
In the other city near us, lost a lot of electricity.
Everybody says, I just got to share this. This is pretty funny. Everybody says, everyone loves Shirley. We all love you, Shirley. Shirley's response was, I'm a Kruger. Nora says, I'm a 10. And then Ragdoll says, she's been 29 for 16 years now.
Hey. Well, you look at the picture, I'm 63. You know damn good and well I look 63. I've had a hard life. Gino, I don't think they've had a hard life like we've had. I think they've been kind of soft out there. What do you think?
Yeah.
Pete, Gino, is that true, huh? Yeah, a nice, easy life out there, huh?
From 1% at the Christian Bike Club, I ride with the Seed of Abraham, and we do things for the veterans, homeless vets. That's what we work on. That's a thing that's nothing to do with politics. That's all we do is help the homeless.
Yeah. Well, that's good because, you know, did a thing on CNN about there's 8,569 people that served in Iraq and Afghanistan walking the fucking streets of L.A., living out of a shopping cart or under the bridge in a tent. Supposed to be the greatest country in the fucking world, and we can't even take care of our own vets. When I go to the VA, I have to fight for my shit.
Yeah, I mean, a guy comes from another. You know what you ought to do? Go get a boat, go in the middle of the lake and tell them you're a refugee, and they'll give you $100,000
in a house.
There you go. Money. Give me a rowboat. I'm going to row into America. I'm here in America now.
You know, they're bringing up birthdays here. Like, January 16th is Shirley's birthday, Phil.
Hey, let's
Nora's is the 29th. Nora's is the 20th of November, and mine's the 18th.
Uh-huh. Yours, yeah. Well, I'm March 13th, so you know, fine Irish lad that I am and all that. You know, one of the sad things about I was just realizing that some of you know my history. Some of you may hear me say I've had a long connection with the Mexican motorcycle organizations. I don't have anybody from Mexico that ever contacts me. I don't know what that's all about. I mean, I speak to them. Doesn't anybody in Mexico got a computer? Nobody from Mexico actually contact us. I wonder what the hell that's all about.
Oh, I'm sorry, Shirley. That's her anniversary, Bill. 59 years.
She's 29.
Good for you, Shirley.
Shirley, you're 29. What was Jack Benny's favorite saying? He's 39, right?
Right, 39.
Actually, I read that wrong. I thought it was her birthday anniversary.
Good deal.
God bless. Listen, if you pass 50, you're doing great.
It's like I told you earlier, nobody thought I was going to live to be 25.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, Dad, my mother and father bought me a plot when I was 22. And you know what?
I'm going to tell you what. When my father passed away in 1980, my mother bought three plots, my dad's, hers, and mine.
I tell you what a miracle is in this whole thing is Keith Richards being 67, and he's not dead yet. That's a miracle.
He's got so much drugs and medication in him. Just keep going on and on.
He will not die. I love that guy.
Yeah, he didn't know he's dead.
He's got a house here in Connecticut. Bridgeport, actually. Bridgeport, Connecticut.
I didn't know that. Hmm.
Yeah, he has a house in Bridgeport. Gino's old hood.
I'll keep you alive a long time, Bridgeport.
Mick Jagger has a house there, too.
You know, Bill, I got an email from Ryan today.
Yeah.
And would you read that caption right there, please?
You know, you just start, all right, behind the wall, Chinese applicants to the U.S. schools skyrocket. They're coming over here for the best education they can, take advantage of education, and then they go back to their own country again.
Yeah. A lot of money.
I don't know.
Here.
Yeah.
Listen to this now. The number of Chinese undergraduate students in the U.S. has doubled in the last 2 years. China's booming economy and the ability of families to pay tuition in full is also playing a big role. I know that scores are not the only thing that the university will consider whether you can get in or not.
Did you ever see Saturday Night Live when they had the president talking and the Chinaman comes over and puts his seal over the American seal?
No.
That Saturday Night Live was funny.
We're not that old.
I said this so many times, I almost get tired myself saying it. For you people, wake up. Stop buying Chinese product.
Okay.
Stop getting involved with China.
All right, Bill.
Forever. No communism.
Listen to this, you guys, okay? Now, I talked to you earlier about the Pentagon memo I have. I got another Pentagon memo. The subject is Tactical Network for Cellular Surveillance, the Task Force update. I am directed to convey the sanction of the president of the operation Your Shirt to gain access to USCC transmittals, but not limited to, since Michigan has no access, and their primary target concerning the PRC decision was made earlier this year to sign an agreement with mobile manufacturers in exchange for Indian market presence. They sold us out, Bill. They sold us out, Bill, to sell cell phones in India.
Yeah. I heard that.
Last year they did it in China.
Yeah, they moved, yeah.
Now they're doing it to India.
That's what I heard, yes. Uh-huh.
And all the American cell phone companies who are tracking you, you can turn off your GPS. All mine does is text and get phone calls and make phone calls. That's it. All that other shit is turned off. And I'm going to tell you right now, the other thing, if you turn your phone off, it's not off. You got to take the battery out. Otherwise, they can still track you.
Again, I am so proud to say I'm an American citizen. I'm so proud to say I'm a veteran. I'm so proud. But I'm wondering, what about our grandchildren?
Shit.
The way they're changing. I don't know if they'll be that same proud. What do you guys think?
I think we're leaving an awful big damn mess for them.
Yes.
Battery out, you'll never hear from me again.
Hey, Bill. Phil. I got to give a shout-out to my brother Paul, who He broke up a fight yesterday. Some guy tried to stab some other guy out in front of my house.
Wow.
I know he's listening to the show. And he took the knife out of the kid's hand and took him down until the cops got here. stabbed the kid once. He tried to stab him again, and my brother took him right down to the ground. So I just wanted to give my brother shout out for that, because it was a good thing he did. I know he's listening in the other room on the computer.
You know, you got to stand up. You got to be active. This is your neighborhood.
Two young kids were fighting. One kid hit the one kid with a wrench, and the other kid pulled a knife. He stabbed him once. He went to stab him again, and my brother knocked the knife right out of his hand, threw him to the ground. Cops came, locked him up. Gino wasn't here, though, to help us, though. That's the thing I can't figure out. Where the hell were you, man, when we needed you the most?
Yeah, I was watching TV.
I came running out. I couldn't believe it. My brother had the guy on the ground. The knife was in the grass. The other kid was there bleeding. So my brother, I'm calling him a war hero here. He did a good thing. He just got out of the hospital himself, so... I know he's listening to the show in the other room. I just wanted to mention that. He doesn't really come on the show, but he does listen. So that's for Paul, my brother Paul.
Say kudos to him for the fact taking, as an American citizen, taking a stand to try to help other Americans with
right,
that
right on, man.
The two dudes are probably fighting over a girl.
Yeah,
well,
probably.
Just to get back to what I was talking about with Watch Your Phones, GE and the China Tactics, this is an email. Who the guy is the director. He says, I have finished my review of the Chinese investment proposals and my comments are contained in the attached document. I plan to provide you with a hard copy of the spreadsheet as well as copies of the proposals at Thursday's AR review session. I also have discussed my comments with Paul and Nargaza. Paul's comments are copied in the attached document. So what they're doing is they're selling us out behind closed doors.
Until the people... voting for the right people. Hey, I'm not voting for Obama.
Well, it's like this guy, the next guy, in answer to that guy's email is, my takeaway is that we need to think about a case study on how to smoke corporation operators in the global marketplace that are willing to stop significant parts of their operations and move them to China to make the operations dependent on China. In the case of GE, the company's U.S. operations will no longer be in the IMA business, and some of the Americans that were involved will not be employed at that. With that, with wind turbines, GE can produce them without their JV in China. This could be a short case study in an annual report we need to explore before evolving into this year. This could be done with a hearing or research contract, because the phenomenon is how it affects U.S. dependence on China and how it affects corporations and employees. So basically, they're selling us down the river.
To me, China owes us everything. We freed their country in World War II. They should give us the money. We shouldn't have to give them anything. You know, I'm so tired of listening to China, China, China. You know,
people sometimes say, because I all badmouth China heavy. There's not a Chinese person in the world I'm mad at. No Chinese person has done me wrong. But the Chinese government...
The mention of having done any science while on the run in South America.
I don't know.
Sticking up for those Marines.
Yeah. What do you think about these Marines over there in Africa now? The Marines over there in Australia. What do you think about that stuff going on?
I don't know why they're in Australia for.
Well, we want to show China that we're not a... Australia full of Marines, military. That's what Obama said. He's putting a display on to show China we're not afraid of them. So we're sending more and more and more military to Australia for a show of strength. A little saber rattling. More bullshit.
I've got kangaroos and rocks. Where the hell are they? Who am I? I don't understand that one. I've been to Australia.
How the hell did you get into Australia?
We're down to the last 60 seconds. I think we can pick up where we left off on Tuesday. I invite everybody to come back. Nora, thank you for tuning in. Shirley, thank you for tuning in. Art, thank you for everybody that participated tonight. We thank you for tuning in. I'm going to take us out with one of my favorite songs, and this goes out to all the brothers who ride free.
Hey, God bless.
Peace.